As of now, our way of life has been stopped. It's not the way it was just a few weeks ago. We now have to pay attention in ways like we've never done before. We have to worship in ways like we've never done before. We love and serve in ways like we've never done before. Jesus warned them to keep it quiet, not to breathe a word of it to anyone. He then began explaining things to them. It is necessary that the Son of Man proceed to an ordeal of suffering. He must be tried, found guilty by the elders, the high priest, and religion scholars. Jesus will be killed, and after 3 days, rise up alive. He said this simply and clearly so they couldn't miss it. But Peter grabbed him in protest. Turning and seeing his disciples wavering, wondering what to believe, Jesus confronted Peter. "Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God really works." Calling the crowd to join his disciples, Jesus said, "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. My way. To saving yourself. Your true self. What good would it do to get everything that you want, but then you lose you? The real you. Your soul. What could you ever trade your soul for?" Mark chapter 8, verses 30 through 37. What's up, everybody? Welcome to our Sunday morning online worship experience. We call this Living Room Worship. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram or our website. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let me just say this. Obviously, we have no idea when we're going to be able to meet together again under one roof, but I will say this. What we do know is this. We can stay deeply, deeply connected to each other as we worship online in brand new and creative ways. And I've told you this so many times before. One of the things that really keep me awake at night is the fact that there are ways of doing church that no one has even thought about yet. And so there are very creative and powerful and moving ways to do church and to do worship that no one's even thought about yet. And so really, this is the perfect time to think about it and to be creative and to stay connected. Let me just also say this. As we approach Easter, we promise to put out some very cool, very moving, inspiring, and very helpful content on that day. It's going to be a lovely, beautiful time for all of us. Also, be sure to follow us on our Facebook page, our Instagram page, just to stay connected to us online, to stay connected to us for all of these different announcements and different things that we have going on. So if you don't follow us on our Facebook page or our Instagram page just yet, be sure to follow us this week. You won't regret it. Now, let me just say this. During times like this that we're living in right now, there's a few things that you and I absolutely cannot go without. And no, I'm not talking about Sprite or toilet paper. What I'm talking about is this. During times like this, one of the few things that we absolutely cannot go without is leadership. Our cities need leadership. Our organizations need leadership. Our churches need leadership. Our communities need leadership. And our families all need leadership. And anyone can be a leader. Now, for just a few moments, let me talk to our children or our younger students who may be listening to us online with their families today. As you're younger and you're growing up, if you really want to be a leader in junior high, high school, elementary school, college, you really only need one thing, and that one thing is courage. And we see that in the life of David. If you remember when David was just a little teenage boy, his brothers all go to war with the armies of Israel against the Philistines. Well, the giant Goliath shows up and everyone's scared to death. When David shows up to bring his brothers some lunch during times of battle, he notices that all the soldiers in the armies of Israel are hiding. They're quaking in fear from Goliath. And so he takes his rocks and his slingshot and he faces this giant one-on-one. And this little boy in this moment had the courage to be willing to do what everyone else was simply afraid to do. And in your life, it's the same way. When you're growing up as a student, as a child, if you really want to be set apart as a leader, all you have to be willing to do is what everyone else around you is afraid to do. People around you are afraid to love God. People around you are afraid to follow Jesus. People around you are afraid to humble themselves and love other people and serve other people. And if you're willing to have courage, and if you're willing to do what everyone else is afraid to do, then in everyone else's mind, that'll set you apart as a leader. When little David killed Goliath, all of a sudden you heard a roar from all the other soldiers in the armies of Israel, and it inspired them to rise up and to fight. And anytime you have courage and it sets you apart as a leader, it's always going to inspire other people to do the same. But as we grow up as adults, Jesus took it a step further. In fact, when it comes to becoming a leader, Jesus has four words for really all of us. And these four words have challenged me over and over and over again through the years. And more recently, over the past few weeks, these four words have been deeply, deeply challenging to me. When I pay attention to these four words, I always become a better man, a better disciple, a better Jesus follower, and a better leader. But when I do not pay attention to these four words, it never goes well for me in this life. Everywhere Jesus went and anytime Jesus taught, this was his basic theme of his message. Mark 1:15, the kingdom of God is near, and so repent and believe the good news. God's kingdom is near, and so you don't have to feel so far away from God and God's love. You and I are never too far away from God. Now, this word repent here in this verse is actually a positive word, not a negative word or a guilty word, and it basically means this. It means to turn forward. It means to rise up again, to go forward, and to step into new beginnings, and this is so very positive. There's this kingdom that we're all a part of, but it's not this materialistic or worldly kingdom. It's actually a spiritual and a relational kingdom that we have in our hearts, in our souls, and in our spirits. And this kingdom that we are in has a king, and his name is Jesus Christ. And in his kingdom, we see the world, we love the world, we approach the world, and we serve the world in a brand new and different way. Now, earlier in this teaching film, you heard us quote Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 37. Let me just kind of break it down for you again. In verse 31, Jesus talked with his disciples about his eventual suffering on the cross in Jerusalem. And it kind of raised a question for them. Why would something so bad happen to someone so good? In fact, a lot of people have that same question today. I feel like I'm serving God. I feel like I'm walking with Jesus. Why is all this bad stuff happening to me? But even the message of the cross teaches us this, that the worst possible thing happened to the best possible person. The worst possible thing happened to the best possible person. And so sometimes you and I have storms in our life too as we follow Jesus. In verses 32 through 33, Peter tries to rebuke Jesus or talk some sense into Jesus. But then Jesus tells him basically, do not get in the way of God's new work. Do not get in the way of God's kingdom work. In verse 34, Jesus basically said this, if you follow me, it's going to cost you something. But this was not some dreadful news at all, because notice what he says next in verse 35. Everyone dies. We all lose our life. But if in the meantime you only live for yourself, then at the end of your life, you won't have much to show for it but yourself. Everyone dies. We all lose our life, but if in the meantime you only live for yourself, then at the end of your life, the only thing you're going to have to show for your life is just yourself. But then he gives us the invitation to live and to lose our lives on purpose. And so the disciples are thinking, do we go back to fishing and living for ourselves, or do we follow Christ and live for this greater purpose? Because everyone in life ends up somewhere, but very few people end up somewhere on purpose. Everyone in life ends up somewhere, but very few people end up somewhere on purpose. Now, I think we have a decision to make in life right now as we go through this as well. During times like this, will you and I be mainly driven and consumed by preserving our stuff and our way of life everything that we're going to lose anyway? Well, we live in fear of losing our lifestyles and our way of life. By the way, fear always invites us to follow the path of selfishness in our life. But if you follow that path long enough, you will not find the true meaning of life, and you won't have much to show for your life either. So the question that Jesus challenged his early disciples with is really the same question that he gives us right now in these moments. Will you follow me? Will we take up our cross during times like this and ask, will I follow Jesus every single day, and what does love require of me? Every single day that you and I wake up, will we ask these questions? Will I follow Jesus today with my thoughts, words, and actions, attitudes, and reactions? And what does love require of me? Now, all that brings me to this. When you and I look back on this time, this COVID-19 coronavirus time, we're all going to have a story to share. We're all going to have stories to tell when all of this is over or when it levels out. The question I have for you is this. Will your stories be worth telling? Some of your stories will be worth telling. Some of your stories will not be worth telling. And the reason why is because we will live in fear. If you live in fear to preserve your way of life, that means you're going to miss out on this great opportunity to do something as a Christian extraordinary and good during times like this. Now, back to the Gospel of Mark. Later on in this story, the disciples and Jesus start to make their journey back to Jerusalem. So as they head to Jerusalem on their way again, Jesus tells them again about his suffering that he's going to face on the cross. And during this journey, at one point, the disciples start to argue with each other about who's the greatest. And at one point, James and John, their brothers, they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we hear this talk about suffering and the cross and everything, but yeah, forget about that. When you finally do come into your kingdom, can you give us positions of importance? Can you give us positions of power? Can we sit next to you at your throne? Please give us positions of importance. And Jesus has to speak up again. And when he does, he gives us four words that'll turn us into leaders during this time if we take them to heart. It'll turn us into greater leaders during this time. And this is what he said. And he said this in Mark chapter 10, verse 43. And I'm quoting out of the NIV. He says, not so with you. Four words. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Greatness in God's kingdom is serving others in love and humility. After this, they continue to Jerusalem. Jesus has this important mission, the cross, the Savior of the universe. And as they travel to this important mission, a blind man calls out to Jesus for help. And guess what Jesus and his disciples do? They stop and they help this man. Even though Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for a very important mission, this blind man is hurting. He calls out to Jesus and they stop and they help this man. Which leads me to this today, and remember this. Sometimes following Jesus requires us to stop. So here's a few quick and helpful observations today to help us live this truth out in our life as we follow Jesus this week. The first thing is this. Stop trying to control every single outcome in your life. Sometimes following Jesus requires us to stop. So stop trying to control every single outcome in your life. That will guarantee that you live in fear. Obviously, live your life with intention. But you cannot stop, prevent, or even delay storms or trials or difficulties in this life. The world lives in fear, but as a disciple, not so with you. You cannot control every outcome. The second observation is this. Stop putting your way of life before other people. Right now, you're surrounded by people who are driven by fear, and they're consumed by fear because during this time, the only thing they can think about is losing their lifestyle and their way of life. But let me just tell you this. You know what's more important than your way of life? The people in your life. The actual people in your life. Will your story be worth telling when this is over? This world will always put people last. Money comes first. Our image comes first. Materialism comes first. Popularity comes first. Social life we put first. But as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, not so with you. Another observation is this. Stop putting your anxieties before others in this life. Everyone around you has concerns right now, not just you. Everyone around you has fear right now. Everyone around you feels uncertain right now, and they feel kind of panicky right now. We all have anxieties right now, not just you. As disciples, we can't just make everything about us right now. That's not extraordinary at all. Not so with us. Not so with you. We're all connected to each other. So let's live that way. Let's love each other. The last thing is this, the last point. Stop long enough to encourage someone who's going through a difficult time right now. Our temptation right now is to give in to fear. Our temptation right now is to try to preserve and save our way of life, our lifestyles. It's to be negative. It's to be self-centered. It's to live in a very selfish way, but not so with you. At the end of our life, we want to have something meaningful to show for. My fear is this. A lot of people are going to wake up one day at the end of their life and they're going to ask this question, what in the world did I do with my life? Don't let that happen to you. Don't ask that question. Very few people end up somewhere in this life on purpose. Live your life with intention. Live for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Love this world, serve this world, and live in this world in a brand new and different way. And people around you are hurting. And so one way you can do that is to flood their lives right now with encouragement. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He has a great mission to be the savior of the universe, to die on the cross. Nothing can stop him. But on his way to Jerusalem, he hears a voice of a hurting man, a blind man, crying out, Jesus, help. And Jesus stops to heal, to love, to encourage. I want to encourage you to do the same. Right now, you can give in to the temptation of living in fear and just trying to preserve your way of life and your stuff. Or you can be a disciple who's a leader. Not so with us. We're going to be encouragers. We're going to be people who love differently than this world, and we serve differently than this world, and we encourage differently than this world. So my challenge for you today is to bring encouragement to the people around you. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We absolutely love you. We can't wait to meet with you. We can't wait to see you in person. So hang in there with us. Thank you so much again. We love you.
We want to thank you for joining us for today's online experience. If anything spoke to you today, comment below and let us know how this is encouraging you. If you want to further partner with Water's Edge, there's three simple ways to do so. The first one is you can give online. You can visit watersedgegathering.com and click on giving. From there, you'll be led to eGive, our online giving platform. Or you can text to give. You can text GIVE to 337-223-9003. From there, you can enter your dollar amount and you'll be led to on-screen instructions. Or you can give through the mail. You can do so by mailing Water's Edge Gathering at P.O. Box 572, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70602, or Water's Edge Gathering at 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. We want to say thank you for joining us today. Stay safe, and remember to tune in Wednesday for Pastor Tony's midweek message dropping at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. Thank you guys, and we love you.